A very good evening, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. And I am your host, Evans Azininga. Today on Live Talk, we are discussing Zimbabwe's attempt to clear its external debt and arrears. But first, a quick look at what is happening here in the U.S. Countries around the world are bracing for economic upheaval as incoming U.S. President Donald Trump threatens massive tariffs, especially on China. The uncertainty has left governments and businesses struggling with how to respond, as VOA's Bill Gallo reports from Seoul in South Korea.
During his first term, Donald Trump imposed sweeping tariffs on China, shaking the global economy. Ahead of his return, Trump is vowing even more drastic measures. 10% tariffs on all imports to the U.S., and a staggering 60% on goods from China. While China hasn't commented directly on Trump's threats, it has warned against further trade tensions.
We don't answer hypothetical questions, but let me just reiterate that there's no winner in a trade war, nor will the world benefit from it.
Any Trump tariffs could especially hurt economies that depend on exports. But an expanded U.S.-China trade war could also create opportunities. Many countries have benefited as production shifts away from China to avoid tariffs. Thailand's commerce minister recently told VOA's Thai service his country has seen an influx of U.S. companies relocating factories from China.
We should be able to weather this. I actually see these problems as benefits for Thailand. I believe that we can be an investment destination for every country.
That approach comes with risks, though. Many countries that gained from trade moving out of China now heavily rely on exporting to the United States, leaving them even more vulnerable to any blanket Trump tariffs or efforts to crack down on rerouted goods. The concerns stretch beyond the biggest U.S. trading partners. In Africa, where trade with the U.S. is already limited, higher tariffs could make access even harder, one analyst told VOA's Africa 54.
If we talk about manufacturing, if we're talking about production of produce, pineapples, and coming to the U.S. market, it's going to be difficult. So I'm not optimistic about U.S. trade with Africa if we're talking about increasing tariffs.
Much of the uncertainty stems from Trump's unpredictability. During his first term, he often used the prospect of tariffs as a bargaining tool before eventually striking individual trade deals, says analyst Jayant Menon.
Trump is not a protectionist, I think, right? He's a deal maker. That's what he, likes to present himself as, the art of the deal and all that. So he likes free trade agreements that he has a role in.
Menon says countries targeted by Trump could push for new trade agreements instead of tit-for-tat tariff escalations that could harm themselves. Not all of Trump's proposals point toward increased protectionism. He's also suggested rolling back subsidies for U.S.-made electric vehicles, subsidies put in place by the Biden administration.
He's already called them, silly in a podcast with Joe Rogan. So he's probably going to roll them back. And that's a positive, right, in terms of the distortions that affect the global economy.
Both risks and opportunities as the world figures out how to respond to the return of an unpredictable U.S. president. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul, South Korea.
Interesting times lying ahead there in the U.S. Now back to our topic of the day. Zimbabwe today hosted a high-level meeting in Harare to assess the progress of the dialogue process between the country and development partners over its U.S. $21 billion debt and arrears. Gathering under this arrears clearance and debt resolution platform since its inception in 2022. According to the African Development Bank, as of August 2024, Zimbabwe's total public debt was estimated at about US$21 billion, and of this amount, the external debt owed to bilateral and multilateral creditors accounts for US$12.3 billion. President Emmerson Mnangagwa and other stakeholders attended this event. And African Development Bank President Akinwumi Adesina implored countries that are owed by Zimbabwe, as well as development partners, to help Zimbabwe clear its debt.
The $21 billion debt of Zimbabwe, of which the bulk, I must say, is actually arrears, has made arrears the new debt, like stacks, piles of sandbags on the back of Zimbabwe. Now, we all agree we must play our part to correct this anomaly and give a new lease of life to this nation and its people so Zimbabwe can run. Run to build first-rate schools. Run to build infrastructure from transport corridors, rails, railways and power transmission lines that would integrate the entire southern region and boost economic growth and create a lot of jobs. Run to boost its tourism and agriculture sectors to become yet again the breadbasket for the region. Run to unlock the wealth of minerals and metals locked in its vast mining areas. Zimbabwe, Your Excellencies, is too critical now for the world to ignore. With its vast deposits of critical minerals, including lithium and platinum metals group, Zimbabwe is one of the leading countries that holds the future for global energy transitions. In a world of geopolitical competition and drive for securing vital strategic minerals and metals, we must look at Zimbabwe with new lenses.
That was African Development Bank President Akinwumi Adesina speaking in Harare today at the High-Level Structured Dialogue Platform Forum. Addressing the same gathering, President Emmerson Mnangagwa spoke of the resilience of Zimbabwe's economy despite the huge debt it saddles, economic sanctions, and natural disasters.
All Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe foreign currency liabilities were transferred to Treasury, and these are now being financed through the national budget. In terms of the exchange rate, there is now greater flexibility on the foreign exchange market. To encourage implementation of further economic reforms under the arrears, clearance, and debt resolution process, my government is currently negotiating a staff monitored program, SMP, with the International Monetary Fund, the IMF. The implementation of any reforms under the SMP, however, impacts negatively on the vulnerable groups of our population. In this regard, the protection of the vulnerable groups through effective social protection programs is of critical importance to my government.
Zimbabwe President Emmerson Mnangagwa there speaking at the High-Level Structured Dialogue Platform Forum. Speaking on the sidelines of these meetings, U.S. Ambassador Pamela Tremont said Zimbabwe must respect the rule of law for genuine reforms to happen.
We have been supporting Zimbabwe for 40 years. We're the largest bilateral donor and have invested over $5 billion in the health and welfare of the Zimbabwean people since 1980. We're here today as part of our commitment to the Zimbabwean people that is longstanding and consistent, and we're here to advocate for the reforms that the international community has been asking for many years. They're quite clear. We need public officials to quit using their public offices for private gain. We need the judiciary to be able to deliver justice independently of political considerations, and we need Zimbabweans' rights to assembly and free speech to be fully respected.
That was USA Ambassador Pamela Tremont speaking on the sidelines of the high-level structured dialogue platform forum. Speaking also at a media conference on the sidelines of the same meeting, Finance Minister Tuli Ngube highlighted on government spending and disputed word that suggests the Zimbabwe government is broke.
On farmer payments, we set aside $55 million for that in the national budget of this year, $20 million for the paper farmers, $35 million for the global compensation deed farmers. So those resources are in place. What we're doing now is really going through the verification process to make sure that when you say I'm a, you know, a farmer who is aggrieved, I need payment, it is you who really own that piece of land and weighs that piece of land. So that verification process is critical. It took time. But we are ready now to start making the payments. But it's not that we've not been paying before. We recall that every year, actually we've been paying the farmers, targeting the vulnerable and so forth. But what we didn't know was the extent of the debt. So by coming up with the global compensation deed and the agreements that we've done with the paper farmers, we now know what that liability is. But the process itself had already started. We just paused a little while we're completing the verification process, and that is done so that that compensation, anytime now, they'll start receiving a payment.
Finance Minister Professor Mtoli Ngube there speaking to media in Harare today. And on that note, let's take a quick break. Please stay tuned. We will be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
And for those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Debele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Now, to discuss the Zimbabwe debt and arrears, we are joined by economic analyst and RBZ advisor, Mr. Persistence Gwanyanya in Harare. And we also have another economic analyst from Antahill Corporate Solutions, Dr. Eddie Mahembe in South Africa. Gentlemen, welcome to Live Talk.
Thank you for the opportunity and welcome.
Let me start by you, Mr. Gwanyanya. If you could please tell us a little bit more about today's meeting.
Thank you very much. So the meeting of today was basically another platform for the arrears clearance and debt resolution process, high-level structured dialogue. So you find out that the government of Zimbabwe is embarked on the program or high-level structured dialogue relating to arrear clearance and debt resolution in 2022, after realizing that debt has become an albatross in the neck of Zimbabwe, which was weighing down all efforts to recover. And therefore, we needed to come up with a solution to our debt. And in the past, we tried different measures or processes to deal with our debt, but the debt situation of the current country has remained unresolved. In this connection, the government is embarked on or instituted some reforms, I think, in three main areas, in line with the high level structured dialogue. The three areas we think, if we reform, we will be able to deal with our debt situation, creating the fiscal space to pay the debt, and also negotiate some restructure of the debt, and all of which are important in resolving our debt situation.
Allow me, Mr. Wanyanya, to chip in. I'm sorry for that. Allow me to chip in so we don't lose track. You've said quite a number of nuggets there. We don't want to forget them and lose them. Let me bring Dr. Mayembe for a second and we'll come back to you. Dr. Mayembe, following what Gwanyanya has just explained about today's high-level structured meetings, I would like you to come in and give us your thoughts on what you think about these kind of meetings. This is the sixth one since the platform has been created. Is this working for Zimbabwe? Has it worked before? Where are we now?
Yeah. Thank you so much for the opportunity, and I want to acknowledge my fellow panelists, Professor Wanyanya. This is, in my view, it's a very important meeting, especially where you are in debt, and then you begin to engage directly with your creditors. And for this particular instance, I think it's important to actually put some bit of figures in perspective. So you find that according to some of the figures which are being spoken, when we talk about debt, we're talking about maybe even 81% of Zimbabwe's current gross domestic product, which is really big. And also it's also important to note that they are also saying 45% of that money is outstanding debt. But 55% is actually in terms of arrears and penalties. So, in other words, any day which passes without a proper resolution of this issue actually continues to weigh down on the economy of Zimbabwe, but also even on the future prospects of the nation. So, yes, the issue of having a dialogue is important. And secondly, the issue of directly talking to your debtors is also one of the most prudent ways to do it, with the way of coming up with a resolution, because right now, the IMF and others are not even able to lend Zimbabwe money because of this debt issue. So the sooner is this issue is resolved, the better for the nation.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for chipping in there. Let me come back to you, Gwanyanya. Now, you heard what the president said today and what the African Development Bank president also said, and everyone is rooting for Zimbabwe to take care of its debt. How feasible is this program going to change the land spec of finance in Zimbabwe? Are we going to wake up one day and Zimbabwe is debt-free?
Thank you very much. So, unlike in the past, I think there's some measure of reforming that is that we are trying to embark on as government. So as we do that, I think the hope is that these reforms are going to help the country in the management of our affairs in a manner that will help us dig ourselves out of the hole that we find ourselves in. But more importantly, these reforms are also seen as inspiring some measure of confidence, trust, and hope in the management of the economy. So as we get to that stage, you find out that as a country, we will be able to then restart living as a going concern. Now, with this high level of debt, you may want to agree with me that all other countries in the world have such kind of debt level. Even the Americans themselves, I think the debt has shot up to $34 trillion against an economy of $23 or $24 trillion, which speaks to high level of debt. Even in Europe, the question of debt is also an issue in those countries. But the difference between ourselves and those other countries is that they are able to live as going concern, which is what they call in business, in that they are still able to reaccess the debt at favorable terms, additional debt. So, which is unlike our situation. In our situation, because of arrears, we are unable to access favorable, even long-term and affordable facilities, which makes our debt situation different, and which makes our debt situation it puts us in a very difficult position as a country.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm very much confident, and even arising from the feedback we got out of the meeting, they seem to be confident with even those that we are, even those that were part of the dialogue, that it is indeed possible for the country to resolve the debt situation and to inspire hope again, inspire trust again, and so that we start living as a going concern going forward.
So
we have registered significant progress.
Let me interrupt there, Mr. Gwanyanya. The progress part, I would like to come back to it. Let me allow Dr. Mayembe to come in as well. Mayembe, Gwanyanya, varikutaura nyaya ye progress. Vataura a couple of things that the government has done that Zimbabwe is alluding to in the hope of coming out of this hole. Now, do you feel Zimbabwe is doing enough to drive the motion of getting out of debt?
Yes. Sometimes it's not, for this particular one, it's not mostly about what we feel. The good thing is, through these negotiations, there are things clearly written down to say, if Zimbabwe does this, then these issues are resolved. For example, one of the key issues, even the president mentioned it, that Zimbabwe is currently negotiating with the IMF to enter into a staff monitored program. Yet that staff monitored program does not necessarily lead to the resolution of the debt crisis, but what it does, it sends a very, very strong signal that Zimbabwe is demonstrating going back to sound economic policies. Very important. So even the African Development Bank, they are actually emphasizing that once Zimbabwe is admitted and or that issue of the self-modeled program is approved by the IMF and they are happy, it sends a very important signal even to African Development Bank. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two also, there are also issues which are actually clearly written in the reform agenda. And one of it, I think Mr. Gwanya already alluded to it, the issue of the compensation for former commercial farm owners. And there is also issues to do with the establishment of anti-corruption courts, transparent justice system, electoral reforms, achieving peace, unity, and reconciliation. So for me, these are clearly written benchmarks. And I know the president was saying, and sometimes when we are trying to follow what the supplemental program is saying, you might also have a trade-off with the meeting the demands of the poor and so forth. But I think in this kind of negotiation, people can soon be able to come up with a workable solution. But what is key is that, that's what I like for me, is there are clear articulated issues which Zimbabwe has to do, which also the creditors have to do, and then once those things are done, then Zimbabwe would be, would be on course to achieve what my brother Banyana is talking about.
Okay. Now we can come back to you, Gwanyanya. I would like you to touch a little bit on the progress that Zimbabwe has made. We are getting close to the end of the show. If you can come in about a minute or so we can also give Mayembe a moment to close in your closing remarks. Let's touch base on that.
On the economic reform, we've managed to rebalance the budget from the deficit of around 10% of GDP to now below 2%, on average 1.5%. So we have been rebalancing the budget, but this also speaks to even the borrowings at the Reserve Bank. In the past, it was our treasury been borrowing from the RBZ overdraft facilities, but for a long time, many years, I think since 2019 or so, there has not been any recourse to the central bank in terms of financing or in terms of the overdraft. We have also seen the transfer of liabilities of RBZ to the Ministry of Finance so that these liabilities are serviced from the budget instead of being serviced maybe from inflation driving. It's a progress in terms of the economy.
Let's come back again and let's allow Mayembe to also have a few words. Mayembe, if you could respond to this in closing, let's do that. Tipete Chirongwa.
Yes, and Dagopeta Nishiti, yes, Trumzola Shoto and Guayana, but I think the currency becomes an issue in Nonosa, the economic policies. But also, Nyaye Kukumbat and my white commercial farmers. I know it is Shikitwa and Shimoma agreement, but in my view, why do we have to pay from the budget? Yet people who benefited from the farms themselves are clearly known, visible, working. So why can't those people pay for those farmers, for those farms, because they actually benefited. I don't know why every Zimbabwean needs to be burdened to pay for a farm for Mr. Moyo or Mr. Wadi. But yes, Mr. Moyo is alive. He's already farming and he's already...
Oh, Mayembe, you are closing on a very high note there. I wish we had more time, gentlemen. We'll try and have you back on this show to talk this further. But tonight, this brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much, both of you, for coming on. And to our viewers and listeners from wherever you are, thank you for joining this show tonight. I am signing off in Washington. This is Evans Zininga.